Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bomb. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass off.
I feel mean.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Action Cast for the week of May 14th, 2012. I'm your host, Zach. Joining us, we have Chris.
Hey, hey, hey.
And Joe.
Shaka Zulu.
So, we got a ton of stuff to talk about this week. We have a bunch of new TV shows that got announced from all the networks at their upfront presentations. Trailers, Avengers made $1 billion, all sorts of other crazy stuff. So why don't we get right into it with Show and Tell. And Chris, what have you been watching?
Oh, okay. So I haven't delved into like a terrible movie in a while. So I treated myself and watched Quarantine 2.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Quarantine 1 did so well. For those who aren't familiar, this is the sequel to a movie about a building that gets quarantined in L.A., because there's a mystery virus. And so, spoiler alert for this one, everyone dies in that building.
Hi-oh! They all get quarantined.
And then in the sequel, it's about two airline stewardesses who leave L.A. and, like, are prepping a red-eye flight from L.A. to,
Bangkok.
Somewhere. I don't remember them saying where they're going. But it's a late night flight, so basically like there are six people on this like tiny ass plane flying. And turns out one person is like mysteriously infected or like someone's infected with like this virus that makes into like quasi zombies. And again, this movie is spiritually a zombie movie, but it doesn't quite feel like it. But there's, like, every character is, like, a cliche, though. Like, a zombie cliche. Like, there's a foreign couple. There's a newlywed couple with a baby on the way. There's Justin Bieber. Like, not the Justin Bieber, but it's someone who's, like, I swear, is like could be a stunt double. And you get, like, these really... And then the only thing I noticed is that there's really no, like, definite, like, protagonists. So you really don't know who to root for and who to, like, they're going to get it, you know? It's one of those confusing, like, I think this is our main hero, you know? Like, I was sitting there going, like, so who am I supposed to be emotionally invested in?
Who do I hate?
Oh, I instantly hated the Justin Bieber character. It's, like, this snobby 13-year-old, like, scene kid who, like, is flying to see, like, his mom or something, or his dad. He's like a, you know, a product of a divorce, so he's angry at, like, people.
Queer.
So naturally, like, he's always rebellious, and he's like, yeah, like, I'm old enough to, you know, do this. But it's like, okay, forget, like, how, like, mature you are. Like, no one is mature enough for a zombie, like, problem. Like, no matter how, like, tough you are, unless you're part of the company that like developed the virus, it's like you're not prepared for how to deal with it. And even then, it's like the people who like, they eventually land this plane because one of the members on board is infected, and then they quarantine the airport, and then they try to kill everyone, like in the airport, like in this hangar. So most of the movie is shot like. In four, like, it's a budget movie, let me tell you that, too. Like,
yeah.
The scenery is very bland. It's definitely a lot of, like, tunnel shots. Like, everything's in the dark.
I'm not sure the first one made it to theaters.
First one did.
Yeah, I know.
First one made it.
I'm wondering how.
We don't know how.
Yeah.
Well, because it's a Spanish remake. I mean, it's an American remake of a Spanish movie called Wreck.
Which I heard is, like, I heard 10 times better than Quarantine.
Yeah.
It is.
And, like, Wreck 2
is,
like, a SWAT team goes, it's, like, a whole, like, crazy action movie.
Isn't it, like, the same night, too?
Yeah.
Not to interrupt. Yeah,
that's pretty
cool.
It's cool how it's, like, they continue the story through different perspectives. So, this is, like, they kind of mention that the first, like, this happens near the this movie begins near the end of the first movie. So they try to tie it in with, like, really loose, like, narration.
Yeah.
By this, like, obvious evil character who, like, turns out is like, I'm evil after all. Like, it's so, like, you can point it out when the movie begins and this guy's gonna be, like, the guy who, like, goes crazy and betrays everyone, you know? Mm-hmm. So, because, like, before everyone gets on board, it's like they're all, like, walking through the terminal and it's like all the cliches are lining up. And in my head, I'm like, okay, like, young kid, Hispanic man, kid, the guy who's, like, no, the woman who recently, like, came back to America from the army, you know, like, so she has some quote-unquote medical training. And then, like, this, like, scientist with a mysterious bag, you know, it's like, oh, okay, like, someone's not doing, TSA is not doing their job. TSA was like, oh, what do you got there, container? What liquid? Fuck it, you know. Is that over 8 ounces? 20, okay.
Hey, Chris, how's this compared to Flight of the Living Dead?
Oh, boy.
You know, I've seen Flight of the Living Dead, like, parts of it. And that's kind of entertaining, because it's, like, stuck on an airplane, plus, like, something you have to, like, can't touch too well. Like, you can't physically fight a zombie, like, perfectly on an airplane, you know? Mm-hmm. But this, they kind of, like, for 20 minutes of the movie, one guy turns into a zombie and they land a plane. So, like, that wasn't like, oh. Like, they're not just flying around. They're kind of like, oh, they're in the hangar now. And then it escalates to just, like, them freaking out, the CDC showing up and, like, quarantining, and then they're just like, well, I guess we can't, like, do much. I guess we'll kill everyone. Like, that's their whole plan. And in the end, it's like, all these characters get killed off. They become, like, rage zombies. And then you're left with basically this, like, one character they kind of introduced in the beginning and Justin Bieber. And I'm like, oh, like, this is seriously the last, like, humans? Like, oh, fuck. And ironically, like, Justin Bieber survives. Like, he escapes from, like, the actual quarantine zone. And that's how the movie ends.
Quarantine 3!
Ah, God.
We could be so lucky. Mm-hmm.
It'd be hilarious to see, like, each movie, they just keep reducing the budget.
It's like a sci-fi original movie, after.
Oh, my. And the funny part is they land in Vegas, so it's like, at the end, you see the shot of...
That's where Flight of the Living Dead landed, in Vegas.
I didn't see, like, where they landed, but Jesus, like, that's terrible.
They're, like, walking towards Vegas at the end of Flight of the Living Dead. It's like, there's two guys left in, like... They're, like, walking toward Vegas, I guess. And, like, I can't remember, I'm not exactly sure what, like, if, like, the box was with them. Or, like, because there was the guy's, like, zombie wife in, like, the freezer box in, like, the cargo hold of the plane that was caused the zombie outbreak in Flight of the Living Dead.
I gotta see that movie again. But, like, if it's anything like what I saw, like, this was fucking awful.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
It definitely, like, there was no reason to even call this... Like a quarantine too. Like it could have been like a sci-fi original movie. That's how like top quality it was.
It was like Blair Witch 2.
Book of Shadows.
Yeah, like wait, actually no. What was that? There was another Blair Witch type movie that Joe, what was that movie that you watched that was like a quasi Blair Witch but an insane asylum?
The Bear Wench Project? So I saw both of those, and they were phenomenal. I think I will be speaking about that in a few minutes, because I don't actually think I brought that up when I watched it a few weeks ago. So.
Okay. So, like budget horror movies, they never work out well. Like,
not really.
Like, especially when it's a sequel.
Halloween 2 and... Oh, wait, never mind. It worked out really well.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like... At least now, like when.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
I'm just saying now, like I never seen like a movie that is a sequel, and it's like, well, let's reduce their budget and see if they can reproduce it again. You know.
Yeah.
Alvin and the Chipmunks 2, The Squeakquel.
Of course, that's the opposite, where it's like, okay, let's increase the budget and see if it gets better.
This has been Movie Economics with Chris Chan.
Well, like, okay, but you know, like I'm thinking back, like to a Paranormal Activity 3, where they increase the budget each fucking movie, but the story gets more and more convoluted, and like we just ended up hating like more things about it.
Boy howdy.
This I kind of knew like straight up, like, oh, I started drinking as soon as the title credits show up. So. That's what I watched.
That's it?
That and a lot of Avatar again.
God.
I'm on season 2 of 3, so I'm doing a pretty good pace.
Blowing through it.
Yeah.
So, Joe, what are you watching? What are you watching?
Okie dokie. Pretty much. I didn't watch anything. A few weeks ago, I forgot to mention that I saw Grave Encounters on a Netflix Instant Watch.
Oh, my God.
That
sounds awesome.
Yeah. It was... All right. I have to say, I liked the movie, and I'll tell you why. I'm a sucker for story, okay? I really am. I think a well-written horror movie can fuck with you in ways that no other sort of movie can. Like, yeah, there are gory visuals, and there are, you know, cheap scares and psychological scares and things like that, and atmospheric tension and all that good shit, but... nothing really fucks with you like a well-written horror story. And I think this one, while it's not going to win, you know, any awards, I think it was very solid horror writing. And I also think that it was, I can't say innovative, it was well executed for what they had to work with. And what I mean by that is that it clearly wasn't a big budget movie. They clearly didn't have, like, the best talent in the world, though, you know, they did the best with what they had, you know? And the idea behind it is fairly simple. So a brief synopsis is basically the movie is a sad sort of attempt at a found footage movie. It starts off with literally who was this guy who was supposed to be, like, a network executive or producer or something going, like, oh, we were going to air a show called Grave Encounters. Like, this is like one of the unseen episodes that this was like the unseen last episode that was never aired.
Everyone died horribly. And let's, like, watch.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, that's it. He's like, this footage has not been edited in any way. False. He's like, except for time. And I'm like, wait, so then it has been edited. Yeah. Like, what are you talking about? So that was a little weak on their end, but just like, that was cheesy, but it's trying to get people to be, you know, scared and second guess. And, you know, I mean, part of the success of a good horror movie is that it creates doubts in your own mind. Like, when you're watching the first Halloween, you're like, oh, this can never happen. And they're like, actually, it's pretty easy for a fucking deranged psycho killer to just, like, break into my house while I'm alone. Well, that won't happen. Well, it probably won't happen. I mean, statistically, it probably won't happen to you, but it could. Like, it's stuff like that that good horror movies rely on to help them fuck with you. So this movie, you basically have this group of, like, ghost hunters. It's basically ghost hunters, and they go to these haunted locations, and they try to have, like, wacky seances or, like, find, you know, the ghost or, you know, ooh, spooky, like, we survived the night. Well, they go to this one
Are they as big as douchebags as the guys in Ghost Hunters?
Worse.
Okay.
Well, no, not that bad. There's no, like, glitter shirts, but it's close.
Dude! The ghost here!
Dude, there's a fucking ghost over there. So, yeah, they're in this, like, haunted asylum or whatever, and, like, the backstory is pretty generic. It's like, you know, these patients were mentally fucked up, and there's, like, a former Nazi doctor who was in the employ of this place who was doing crazy experiments on them, trying to get the crazy out of them, which, you know, I guess that's, yeah, it's kind of generic, but it works. Like, I'm not mad at that. So the spooky tension starts coming in, obviously, when they're looking around the locale and they're checking the place out. But before this all happens, they tell the creepy groundskeeper to chain them into the place to, like, add to the realism. It's like, yeah, chain this door and lock us in here. So whatever, they do that. Things go bump in the night. Creepy things start happening. It's actually a pretty good build-up. They do a good job of creating tension, so well done there. But what really impressed me was the way they executed what seemed to be kind of like a generic sort of horror outline of the haunted house. They took a page out of the first Silent Hill game. And I don't know if you guys remember the first Silent Hill, but the first time you're going through that elementary school, for my money, that's probably the single scariest video game event of all time. You know, where you're walking through the way you came in and the level is changing around you. And things aren't where they were. The hallway is longer than it should have been. There's blood everywhere. Like, it really fucks with you in a way like nothing had up until that point. This movie doesn't do that, but it tries to. So I give it points there. They start trying to go back the way they came, and like things are not where they're supposed to be, and then they can't find each other, and they lose communication. They get back to what they think is like the main hallway that they set up camp in, and they, like, oh man, like all this time passes and the sun never comes up, and like they have no cell phone signals. Like, it's kind of generic, but things get like weirder and creepier. And eventually they wind up breaking through the chained front door. And instead of being the entrance to the asylum, it's just another longer hallway.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, like they open up their coolers where like there was like, you know, food and like water and stuff, and like all their sandwiches have rotted. So like you get the idea that like a lot of time has passed, but it really like hasn't.
Dude, all Natty Ice is skunky now. What's going on?
That's pretty much what starts happening. But you know, there's some cool shit going on. There's some cheap scares here and there, like, you know, things popping into and out of frame, a little Paranormal Activity type stuff going on with like time passing and seeing creepy shit happen. But overall, like, they tried, and you know what? Like, I can't be mad at them for trying. Like, obviously it's not going to be The Exorcist. Obviously it's not going to be like, you know, this iconic sort of horror movie. And, you know, yeah, there are 1,000 other things out there like it, but you know, I think this is a modest little horror movie that was made with, you know, a lot of care and attention. And while it's certainly not going to win any awards, as I said, if you're a horror fan and you're into like creepy psychological ghost shit, like, It's pretty well done for what it is. You know, don't go into it expecting, you know, amazing things, and I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. So I would highly recommend it if you have, you know, Netflix Instant Watch and you want to throw it on. It's a good way to eat up like an hour and 40 minutes, and it's a nice little ghost story. And again, I was just such a fan of, you know, how they took on that things are changing all around us. Like, one of my favorite parts is, like, they're trying to they reason that the best way to get out of there, because everything is like locked and they can't get out, like they figure they'll go to the roof and then just like find a fire escape and climb down, or just like climb down the side of the building, or just like fuck it, like chance it and see if they could land in bushes or something. And they're going up like stairs and stairs and stairs, and they finally get to the top and it says roof access, and like they turn the landing and the wall is just completely sealed up. Like, it's just a blank wall with, like, no door, no staircase, nothing. Like, I just thought that was cool. Like, it didn't, like, keep me up that night, but I was just like, oh, that's sick. Like, that's a cool idea. So, definitely worth checking out if you're into the horror bias. And, yeah, I don't think we'll be seeing a sequel. And the ending, I mean, you can basically pretty much put together what the ending is just from what I've described. And, you know, that was the only big letdown, I would say. It was the ending, because basically within the first 10 minutes of the movie, I knew what the ending would be. And, you know, maybe that's my fault for watching as much goddamn horror movies as I do. But
that's just an awareness that you build.
It's true. You sort of get desensitized. It's like, you know, when you're in a... it's like when you're at war too long, you can start anticipating the moves of the enemy. And like, I just sort of have that when it comes to horror movies. And yeah, so by the time the end rolled around, I wasn't like, oh, I was just sort of like, yeah, there it is.
Called it.
You know, not even, I wasn't even proud of it. I was just like, yeah, there it is. That's what they were going to do. But yeah, I would say I would be happy if more like quaint little horror movies like this keep coming out and making their way to a Netflix Instant Watch. I have to say, I'm not a huge fan of the found footage genre, but having said that, I think it works very well, and I think it's a cheap medium to let creative horror folks, you know, do their thing. So you don't have to be a multi-billionaire to, like, finance a horror movie. Like, as long as you just decide to do it found footage style, it's actually somewhat easy to do. So with that said, I'm definitely looking forward to Chernobyl Diaries just because it looks like a shit show. And then I'm still curious to see what's going to happen with Oren Peli's Area 51, just because I'm a I have a soft spot for, like, aliens and shit. Mm-hmm. And I also obviously like horror, so we'll see how that goes. Yeah, hopefully. I'm not expecting much from Chernobyl Diaries at all. I mean, honestly, if it's a movie that I haven't heard of until you see a preview for it,
unless it comes out.
Yeah, like a week before it comes out. So
I think it's going,
I think it's going
against Men in Black 3 too. So.
Oh, that's not good. People are going to, like, go into it by mistake and be like, oh, this is Men in Black. It's just got a creepy beginning.
It's all fun.
Why are they in Russia?
Yeah. Is it Will Smith?
You want to come to Chernobyl's?
What? Why isn't anyone getting jiggy with it yet?
Is that Tommy Lee Jones? Oh, man.
So,
Yeah, what about you, Zach? Okay. What have you been watching, old chap?
A bunch of stuff. I watched the first episode of Sherlock, because it's back on PBS for season two, but apparently it's out on Blu-ray as well. It also is already in BBC, like, last year.
Man, like, I still don't understand their scheduling. It's like, you can watch it on TV and wait, or get a little collection.
Well, I think PBS gambled in, like, one big time on that one, because, like, they're like, oh, we'll get the rights to this BBC show. We'll just start airing it. It's like that and Downton Abbey are, like, the only thing that people watch PBS for. But yeah, so Sherlock, it's back. They're doing probably three of the most famous Sherlock Holmes cases this season. It's Scandal Belgravia, Hounds of the Baskervilles, and Rideback Falls. I think it's Encounter at Rideback Falls, maybe, or something involving Rideback Falls. But the first one is Scandal in Belgravia, or Scandal from Belgravia. It's the story that introduces Irene Adler, who's played by, like, Rachel McAdams in the movies, but also some British actress in the Sherlock show.
Right. Is she, like, a duchess this time, or is she...
She is a dominatrix.
Okay, that's a new twist to it.
Yeah. And basically, like, it's so crazy, because they do, like, the basic, like, they do the entire, like, case of, like, the classic case of, like, Sherlock Holmes pretends to be a priest and, like, gets himself, like, into her house to find... Because the whole thing is, like, he's trying to find this photograph that she took of, like...
Right,
the,
yeah.
Like, this...
It's
like, like, Count or something had, like, affair with her.
Well, in the original, the Count hung out with her because he liked how she used to dress like a dude. It's really old-school Victorian how, like, weird that was.
Yeah. She was an actress, too, I think, or something.
Yeah, yeah, she was, like, a very, like... She was, like, something. I forgot what she was called. It was, like, some old Victorian term for the fact that she was, like, a Renaissance woman.
Yeah.
And, the update makes her, like, a dominatrix. That's, like, that's funny.
Yeah. And apparently, like, instead, like, it's a female, like, young duchess or something that has the photographs. So Sherlock, they try to do, like, it's, like, maybe 5 minutes of the episode where they're actually trying to do, like, this whole, like, like, Sherlock's pretending he got, like, attacked in the street and trying to get into this house. But the thing is, like, Irene is, like, 100%, like, she knows Sherlock's coming and, like, is, like, completely prepared for him. So, like, there's not even, like, a doubt that it's him at the door. So he's trying to do, like, all this, like, crazy stuff, and he just, like, walks in naked and is like, hello, Sherlock. He's like, what? And it's really funny, too, because he does, like, it's actually back in, like, full effect of, like, Sherlock looking at things, and you see, like, all these, like, crazy pop-ups of clues of, like, small dog, smoker, 21. like, when he looks at people and, like, look at their clothes and just sees, like, all the crazy details. Like, he looks at, like Watson's in the same room, in the room, too, and he's, like, looking at Watson, and he's, like, getting, like, all this, like, information about Watson, and looks at Irene, and he's, like, question marks, question mark, question mark.
I they stole that from Terminator.
Yeah. They blow out, like, that the Scandal of Belgravia story to, like, this crazy, like, government conspiracy involving terrorists, and, like, Moriarty is, like, actually, they saw the cliffhanger pretty early on, and then, like, Moriarty is, like, helping, like, Irene blackmail the government and everything, and he's, like, running, like, helping terrorists plan bombings and stuff. Because he's, like, insulting criminal. So he's, like, Sherlock for criminals, but just, like, helping them plan attacks and everything.
That's pretty cool. He's a mastermind for hire.
Yeah. And, like, it's I don't know. I mean, last season was pretty funny, but that definitely, like, amped up the a lot of, like, the crazy British humor for this season. Like, there's a part where, like, well, actually, like, at the beginning of the episode, like Watson is, instead of, like, writing down in, like, newspaper article, like, newspaper stories, he's, like, blogging about their cases. So they become, like, internet celebrities. And so they get, like, a ton more cases, and, like, Sherlock declared, like, says he's not going to go out for anything less than he considers, like a 7, because he has, like, this ranking scale. He doesn't tell anyone about it, just, like, he has this internal ranking scale that he determines how important a case is. So, like, he doesn't go out for anything over a 7. So, like, there's, like, he determines, like, this one case is a 6. So, like, he forces Watson to bring this laptop out, and, like, he's, like, checking the crime scene through, like, the webcam.
Does he saw it through the webcam?
Yeah, I mean, he saw it in, like, 2 seconds. But, I mean, it's everything. If you love the first season, it's back and better than ever. I really want to see Hound of Vacaville, because it sounds like they're doing some crazy, like the government's doing, like, genetic engineering or something, and that's why there's, like, the giant dogs running around.
So, like, is that on next week's episode or something?
Yeah, that was on this past Sunday.
Ah.
Only three episodes, BBC shows this season. I mean, they're on a half, but they're only 3 episodes, so.
I know. I always forgot, like, they're not TV shows or giant-ass movies.
But yeah, you can watch them on PBS.org, or I'm sure they'll be on Netflix, because the first season's on Netflix, so probably a couple months they'll be on Instant Watch. You can watch them.
I'm surprised they didn't show, like, the late 80s TV show, the one I watched on Netflix. It's, like, just the cases of Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
And it's, like, Sherlock Holmes is, like, a really old British dude. Mm-hmm. And it's so British, you know, like, everything's in British slang.
Yeah.
You're like, fuck, what? I need a dictionary.
Oh, yeah, one other crazy thing about the first episode of Sherlock is that it takes place over, like, months.
Like, the first episode?
Yeah, it's, like, I don't know, like, they think, like, Irene, like, well, eventually, like, if the case, like, goes on for, like, months, because, like, it starts out in, like, summer, and then it's, like, the end of the episode. By the end of the episode, it's, like, Christmas.
I remember in the original story, it takes a few days, because the guys are covering after the incident in, like, her house. Mm-hmm. And then Sherlock sets it on fire.
Which is, like, like, a smoke bomb, because it's, like, she'll go to protect the one thing she values most or something. So she, like, opens up the, because they get the picture and the hidden column or something.
Right. The version I watched was so, like, lazily done about that. It was just like he did make a smoke bomb, but it became a fire, and they burnt her door, and she ran in the house, unlocked, just to find out where the picture's unlocked.
Yeah.
And then once he, like, found out, he just, like, took off his costume, like, aha!
I'm sure
I got you now. Yeah.
I just remember the wishbone version.
Is a wishbone first?
Yeah.
There sure is.
Like, actually, it's like, Wishbone did that one, and he did Hans of the Baskervilles, too. It's like the two Sherlock Holmes stories they did.
Man, I totally forgot about that.
Basically, all my classical literature knowledge is from Wishbone.
Wishbone, yeah.
Wishbone and the Grapes of Wrath.
Yes. So I watched that. Also watched the first episode of Tron Uprising, because it was on YouTube. It's on YouTube. Actually, it seems pretty awesome.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, yeah, I'm trying to figure out, like, still trying to figure out, like, how it fits in. Because, like,
It's before 2.
It takes place between 1 and 2. And it's, like, sort of right at the, I think it's right at the start of, like, Clue taking over the entire grid. Because, like, the premise is that there's this young program named Beck, who is in, like, the, I guess it's, like, Argyle City or something. It's, like, another one of the cities on the grid. And, like, his city gets, it's, like, just starting to get taken over by one of Clue's generals. General Tesler. And then he, like, one of his friends gets, like, derezzed by his, Tesler's goon. So he, like, decides to fight back, and he's, like, everyone thinks Tron's dead, so he's take up, like, the mantle of Tron and be the new Tron.
But doesn't Tron teach Beck how to become,
yeah,
like...
it's weird, because, like, he gets, after he, so he, one of the first things he does is, like destroy this, like, clue statue that's in the middle of the city, and he gets chased out of town, and he gets caught by, Rinsler. Who is his clue, or is Tron. But then he, like, so he's, like, Rinsler's, like, interrogating him, and then all at the end of the episode, he's, like, oh, like, in the middle of the episode, he's, like, oh, by the way, I'm Tron. I'm gonna train you to be the new Tron. Which is weird, because, like, so does Rinsler have, like, free will or something? Because I thought, like...
I thought he didn't.
Like,
that's
programmed, like, reprogrammed him or something to be, like, Rinsler.
See, like, I like two only because I have to, because if I ever want, like, a series, but, like, not like this.
Well, it's kind of weird. It's weird, too, because, like, I guess he sort of had a little bit of control in Legacy, where, like, he didn't kill Sam, and then, like, it finally turned at the end fully back to Tron, I guess.
And then he crashes in, like, the Sea of Sadness.
But then, like, he's, like, his color changes, so I guess he's back to...
being Tron. But then didn't the whole world, like, break, and then he put it into a... I don't know, like, there's so...
Did the entire world explode?
No, the gateway exploded. Yeah. And then Sam then just, like, uploaded to, like, a flash drive. And he was like, well, I have, like, everything I need.
And I have a hot program.
I brought life to this real world, yeah. And now no one knows... Like, he brought an illegal alien to America. That's the only thing about Tron Legacy I came up with, is that it's fine to bring an illegal to America as long as she's hot.
And a computer program.
Well, no, not in the real world. Remember, like, she came in through real world because of the identity disk,
yeah,
switch. So that makes her, like, real?
Well, I guess she's like a new species. Was it the whole thing of, like, they created, like, a new species in the computer's world?
I thought she was, like, a mutant. I don't know. I don't want to get too into the detail.
Yeah.
It's, like, so insane, and it's so, like, so many gaps.
But, I mean, the cartoon seems like it'll be fun, Tron action. Like, there's two huge, really big action sequences in the first episode where, like, Beck's trying to rescue his friends from this train. So he's racing along in a light cycle trying to, like, figure out how to, like, derail this train. And there's, like, a bunch of, like, and then there's also, like, Tesler has, like, this, like ninja, like, lady ninja assassin as, like, his second in command. And so they get in, like, a big, like, disc battle, and then, like, she has, like, a Tron helicopter that they, like, they commandeer. So it's, like, a big, like, aerial battle. It's got a crazy cast, too. It's got, like Bruce Boxleitner's back as Tron. Elijah Wood...
His career is very limited.
Yeah, Elijah Wood is back. You got...
Elijah Wood?
Yeah. Lance Henriksen.
Really?
Lance Henriksen is the bad guy, Tesler. Paul Rubens is there. Pee Wee Herman is a character.
As what?
I think he's one of Beck's friends. Reginald Del Johnson, a.k.a. Carl Winslow, is, like, Beck's boss at the, because, like, he works at, like, a body shop. Or he's, like, a mechanic.
This is, like, my dream team cast, by the way.
You got Emmanuel Shirky from Entourage. I guess she was, like, E's girlfriend is one.
Damn.
She's, like, one of Beck's friends, too. And then, like, oh, no, actually, she's the female ninja assassin. And I think Mandy Moore is, like, one of Beck's friends.
See, but the thing is, if you, like, remembered, like, Clue killed most of these people.
Well,
later on.
I mean, he killed whatever core, like, whatever the new species was. He, like, murdered all them in, like, one go.
So I'm pretty sure this counts.
It was some, like, yeah, it was the ISOs. I know it was, like, some computer term they bastardized to, like, make...
bastardized.
The ISOs came. They just wandered in from the desert one day.
From the computer desert. Yeah. I remember watching this movie, and I was wondering, like, what happens to, like, is this where, like, our porn collection goes? Like, they just, like... are lost after we delete them, but just, like, in our computers wandering around.
Sentience.
I forgot what Joe called it. It's like the shame. Like the Outland the is the shame
like,
folder.
It's like the March of Shame or whatever. March of Shame. But yeah, it seems like it could be a cool show. It definitely, like, it looks really awesome. It's got like this like crazy unique art style to it. Daft Punk scores in full effect. So
if it looks good, you know, I gotta make sure it makes sense. So I mean, throw the visuals you want. If it doesn't make any sense,
like I don't think I've ever seen anything really. That, like I don't think I've ever seen anything that really looks like this. What this cartoon's doing.
Do you remember Spider-Man, the one with Neil Patrick Harris? The spectacular Spider-Man?
So. It sort of like got like...
That was terrible.
That's the vibe I got a little bit. Like, it's the Immortal sort of Evolved animation style.
Sort of, but... Plus with like all the like the Tron accents of like all the lights and everything.
I can see that.
So you can check it out on YouTube or come over to everythingaction.com. Check it out on the site. It's part of Everything Action Theater. That's TV I've been watching. Besides, like, all of the... actually, there's a ton of, like, season finales happening. So, get jumping on all those. But as far as movies, I watched Stash House. Which is one of the five After Dark action films that got released, like, all at once on, like, every on-demand video service. I think last Friday they got released. They're also in, like, select theaters, apparently. In like Los Angeles and some other places, but Stash House is the one that's starring Dolph Lundgren, and it's about this couple who buys a house and they've discovered that it's like a giant stash of drugs in it, and Dolph Lundgren wants the drugs back.
Oh, Stash House.
Yeah. What is that? Drugs? Or is he after something else?
Oh, twist.
Yeah.
What a twist.
It's a movie. there's nothing original or anything. It's like, have you seen home invasion movies before? Or like,
have you seen Firewall?
Yeah. Have you seen like Home Alone? Yeah, well, they're not Home Alone because like they don't even have anything. There's not even like clever traps or anything. But I don't know. It's like Trespass or I don't know other.
I heard the review for Trespass. That's hilarious.
Oh, How This Get Made?
Yep.
That's the only reason I watched that movie. Just so I can be that.
Oh, what was the one with like Liv Tyler and she was
The Strangers?
Yeah. That or Funny Games.
Funny Games was the one with Naomi Watts and Tim Roth, I think.
Yeah.
Which I've actually seen the original crazy Danish one.
Really?
I had to watch it in film class.
I see.
Michael Haneke. He's a disturbed motherfucker. Anyway, Stash House. Dolph Lundgren is in it. He doesn't really do anything. He's like hanging around and be like, hey, I'm here for the weekend. I gotta go back to Exposed. So
it's like my weekend with Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah.
I hope nobody stashed anything in this house.
I think they were trying to imply he's like a CIA agent or something, or some sort of like ex-CIA agent, now he's evil. I don't know. They don't really do anything. There's no explanation about anything. And it's got like the good guy from Never Back Down and the girl from Step Up 2 are like the couple that are getting attacked in this movie.
Oh my god, it's like look-alike Tom Cruise and some generic blonde.
Well, she's like brunette and like some sort of like Latino.
Some sort of Latino. What's her color? Some sort of Latino.
It's so stupid. Like he's like an investment banker and she's like a vet or something. And he got a deal on the house because the guy who owned the house before like blew his brains out in a church.
And so instead of tragedy, he saw opportunity.
Yeah, I guess he bought the house sight unseen too because they get there and, like
tomato tomato.
Like I don't know why they would sell this house because it has like it's got like underground rooms and like there's like a locked cell like there's like a dungeon in it and there's like. Super high-tech security system that has, like, facial recognition, and, like, it detects motion, and it detects, like, if people are carrying guns.
Well, obviously, he looked at that and went, fucking, that's a deal, like, deal maker.
Yeah. I want a dungeon. Like apparently no one at the bank came to check his house out or anything. It's like, oh, the guy's dead. Oh, you want to buy his house? It's like an hour, it's like 2 hours later. The house is for sale if you want to buy it.
Bank of America, the movie.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And apparently, like, it has like the most like the thinnest walls ever because they're like banging against the wall and like oh, there's a hole in this wall. It's just like, oh my god, there's like 30 bags of heroin in the wall.
You see, if you find like
I'm gonna swallow this and get rid of it.
Well, like, spoil it.
See, like, I don't, that's something. If you bought a house and you discover something really fucked up in it, and there's someone to take it away for you, like, just, hey, I'm here to take this, like, just fucking let them do it, you know?
Well,
what's the worst that could happen?
They like, here, take your drugs, and the Duffling's like, why'd you think we were here for the drugs?
Oh.
I think my favorite part, though, is when, like, it's getting toward the end, and, like, the cops show up, so, like, Dolph Lundgren, like, forces the husband of the couple to, like, you're gonna be trying to be the criminal, the guy who broke in. Take your wife. If you try to do anything or get caught by the cops, I'm gonna kill her. Then he puts on like these like nerd glasses and like walks outside like, oh, officers, this guy broke into my house.
Don't mind me and this like way younger wife character.
Well,
with.
He does say that it's his daughter, so.
Oh,
that was sort of smart. But it's like, why would you not believe, like, who would you believe this like giant, like, his chest is the size of your whole body, Dolph Lundgren, or like the Tom Cruise lookalike guy is the bad guy, and he overpowered Dolph Lundgren and broke into the house.
Well, I mean, these aren't smart cops that cops are dealing with, are they?
No. And they're constantly getting murdered too by Dolph Lundgren. Just comes up behind them with like a science pistol and shoots them all the time.
Is it like, like, you know, many people come to the house during the night, like, pizza delivery, and it's like, oh, fuck you, and it's like, gas man.
Well, it's like a cop, and then, like, they're just, like, the wife's, like, stupid blonde friend shows up, and, like, gets shot in the forehead by Dolph Lundgren. Her stupid friend Trish is like, this guy broke up with me, what's going on here?
Yeah, hey, who's this? Is that Dolph Lundgren?
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's very average. I might check out some of the other ones when they come out on like DVD. I think they're gonna be on DVD in a couple weeks or on Netflix. Actually, the one like El Gringo actually looks like it could be kind of fun. It's like looks like sort of like Robert Rodriguez or like El Mariachi style of like crazy Mexican adventures, shootouts and stuff. It's got Scott Atkins as like the gringo who's like stuck in Mexico.
There's never like a reverse story. There's never like a Mexican who's like stuck in America. Is like, oh no.
A machete.
I think he willingly came to America.
Well, yeah, he was a CIA agent, so.
Yeah, so.
So I saw that, and then the last thing I saw was I saw Dark Shadows.
Oh, how is that?
That movie is very, very meh. Meh, too bad.
Well, I guess if you're like a huge fan of the soap opera, maybe they could help.
I don't think so, because it's just like, it's not even.
I mean, did it? No, go on.
I don't really know anything about the soap opera, but it's all basically the entire movie is just like Johnny Depp is a vampire, so that's supposed to be funny, and then it's like, oh. 70s? What is this infernal contraption? A television? Car?
So he basically becomes the Captain America of the Gothic world.
Kind of, yeah. But also, like, murdering people.
He murders people?
Yeah, as soon as he awakes in, like, the 70s, he, like, kills this entire crew of construction workers.
Oh.
Like, horribly, too. He's just like, you can't imagine how thirsty I am. And just, like, eats them all.
That's cool. Like, I didn't think he was going to have, like, a lot of vampire tendencies, but at least he's got, like, that still intact.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, the movie basically has no plot.
Aw.
Like, it's weird because, like, there's, like, they do, like, 20 minutes of just, like, Johnny Depp is, like, doing wacky 70s vampire stuff, and then it's, like, Eva Green will show up for, like, 5 minutes to, like, explain the next plot point. then disappear for like 30 minutes, and then like it's 30 more minutes of like Johnny Depp, Alice Cooper. He's the ugliest woman I've ever seen. It's like,
so it's just like weird, situational comedy, yeah. And then
there's like a then a montage set to like, oh god, what was it? Cher song. It's like him like hanging upside down by the curtains and stuff, and like buying a coffin. And
hey, I just remember the trailer had all the cliche movie trailer music you could ever imagine like, thrown together.
Hey, is your movie set in the '70s? Here's the songs you should have.
You like nostalgia? Here's all of them.
Yeah.
I remember like they have a fish company or something, yeah, like in the trailer, and then they.
Well, I guess Barnabas got his like fortunes it, like from like fishing. That's how his family got the fortunes. But then in the '70s, his family had like a big like canning company. But then Eva Green, who is the evil witch, Angelique, she's immortal too, apparently. So she like lived like she sealed Barnabas up and then started like building up like her own company, like her own fishing company, and then she built like her own like canning company. So she basically put Gollum's family out of business.
I just find that's a funny like woman. She's so evil that she'll fucking like put you in financial ruin.
Yeah.
Not even just like kill you.
It's so weird. Too. Like she's so wishy-washy through the whole movie. It's like at the beginning she's like, I'm gonna murder your fiance and lock you in this coffin, turn you into a vampire. So you'll suffer forever. And it's like as soon as you come back out of the coffin, he's like, oh man, I missed you. Let's have sex. And then like 20 minutes later, you'd be like, oh, you don't have sex with me? I'm gonna kill your entire family and burn down your business. I love you.
Spoiler, does he actually get with her, or he
yeah, doesn't? It's that scene where, like, Barry White's playing in the trailer.
He gets with her?
He's like,
what happened to his fiance?
Well, she died, because, like, it was, like, the 1700s or whatever.
Right, she became, like, a ghost or something.
Yeah, they don't really explain that.
See, like, that's what I liked about the TV show, is that it's they'll bring up so many fucking obscure plots, but they'll stretch it out to, like, explain everything till you get sick of it.
Yeah, this movie has the exact opposite problem, where it's like, they'll bring up subplots and then explain them and resolve them in 5 minutes later.
Well, I mean, it is a movie.
Like, for example, like this, I'm going to spoil this one just because it's so stupid about how it happens, but spoilers, because if you don't want to hear it, spoiler warning, but
it'll
actually help because then you'll be looking to see if they actually explain this or like set this up in the movie. But so Chloe Moretz is like she's like the daughter. And there's no inkling for the entire movie, but then all of a sudden, like during like the final like climactic battle between Eva Green and Johnny Depp, where like the house is burning down and everything, they're like, "Oh, she's a werewolf." Really? It's revealed like completely out of nowhere. It's just like, "Yep, she's a werewolf." So that's cool, I guess.
See, like in the TV show, that probably was, like, the later episodes, you know? Yep. Like, they start introducing new elements. Yeah,
I'm sure they built it up of, like, hey, why is she never around when there's a full moon or stuff like that?
And this, they just kind of, like, last minute, like, shoehorn.
Yep. And it happens to, like, four different characters. Like, the one, like, the uncle. They feel like he's, like, stealing from everyone. And you're, like, so he's, like, and, like, 5 minutes later, he's, like, out of the movie entirely.
Really?
Yeah, Barnabas is like, you can stay here and be a good father, or you can leave and I'll give you some money. You can go be a sleazy thief somewhere else. And he's like, all right, I'm going to go be a sleazy thief somewhere else. Bye.
Like, I imagine if I did watch all of the TV show, I could probably, like, see how they just sort of, like, shrink all that. So you can't be mad
at
that.
It seems like they're trying to cram, like, 4 seasons of TV plot into, like, 1 2-hour movie.
Well, like, if they ever do a 24 movie,
yeah.
Like, that's what they're going to do. Well, then again, that could work for a 24
movie. I mean, they already sort of made a 24. They made, like, that special 24 Redemption where it was, like, 2 hours.
Isn't that where he's in Africa?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, and then, like, Johnny Depp's doing his typical Tim Burton pale, I'm super pale and have a crazy accent.
Does he hit on his wife, Tim Burton's wife?
Yes.
See, like, that's implied. I was like, hey, come on, like, really? There's no reason for him to hit on this woman.
It's, like, that's another crazy thing, because, like, they introduce, like, this character, Victoria, who may or may not be like the reincarnation of his fiance from like 1700s. So there's this whole like love plot, love story between him and her. But then he's like banging Eva Green in one scene, and like something going on with like him and Helena Bonham Carter too. It's just like he's like Don Drapering them all.
Oh. See, they didn't imply that in the trailer. I thought it was just like he's helping them become a better fish company, and then they eventually Eva Green burns down their business, so he goes and confronts her to tell her to stop it.
Yeah, the trailer had more of a cohesive plot than the movie does.
Oh, trailers! How you'll mislead. I guess that's pretty good compared to like what I thought the whole movie would be like in my head.
It's got a pretty good soundtrack. It's a good 70s song. I don't know. It was just like it was. I mean, it's like the most basic like let's run down the Tim Burton checklist movie. It's like, is Johnny Depp in it? Yes. Is Helena Bonham Carter in it? Yes. Is everyone pale?
Is it gothic?
Check. Is it gothic? Check. Is Danny Elfman doing this music? Check.
Danny Elfman did the music?
Yeah, and it's barely, like, I don't even remember what it sounded like, because it's so stupid and generic.
Danny Elfman on drums. Like, okay.
I mean, it seems like Danny Elfman just, like, he crapped out the weekend before the movie was supposed to come out. He's like, oh crap, I'm supposed to do the soundtrack.
Quick background noise,
Let me change the pitch of the Beetlejuice theme and I'll send it that.
La 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 la.
So, full review is on the site. I would not recommend it unless you're like a super ridiculous Tim Burton diehard fan or Johnny Depp diehard fan.
In which case, you're like a 12-year-old girl.
Yeah.
You're a very, very homely person who's like 40. Yeah. Oh, you're Tim Burton.
Yes. There's other Tim Burton Johnny Depp collaborations you can go watch, like Edward Scissorhands. Or even Sweeney Todd. Sweeney Todd's a better movie than this.
Did Tim Burton make Ed Wood?
Yeah, he did.
I like Ed Wood.
Oh, yeah, that's another great collaboration between those two.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good one. It goes against Tim Burton's like gothic thing. Sleepy Hollow is like the definition of like Johnny Depp gothic, except Helen Bonham Carter is not in it.
I think that's pretty shoots. She had to be in everything.
Yeah, but Christina Ricci was odd in that movie.
Yeah,
because she was like 19 or something. She was young compared to Johnny Depp.
Yeah. So that's all I've been watching. So while we get to news for this week, there's a ton of it to get through here. But a couple trailers came out. Did you see any of the new trailers, Chris?
I saw The Campaign.
Okay, let's talk about that one first. The upcoming Will Ferrell, Zach Galifianakis comedy coming out in August this year.
I feel like I've seen this movie before, though.
You mean like this entire season of Parks and Rec?
That too. I didn't see this season. But like,
it was about a campaign and elections and stuff.
I see. I mean,
there's been a ton of campaign election comedies.
Right. I mean, the closer we get to the actual Campaign for America, the more campaign movies are popular.
Yeah. But I mean, so you got Will Ferrell is like the 5-time Senate, like he's senator from North Carolina because he runs unopposed every year. But then this year, finally, someone's running against him. It's like Zach Galifianakis. He's like in the small town. He like runs the tourism bureau or something. So he's like, but he's running for Senate.
He's the small town yokel.
Yeah, and it's just them trying to like one up each other. And
like, I thought his character was gay, and then they show him his family. And yeah. I'm like, whoa. Because he comes in very flamboyantly. Yeah. And clumsily. Like, oh.
He has a weird lisp.
Yep, that didn't help either.
Definitely, like, they're definitely both in their like, wheelhouses of, like, Will Ferrell is dumb and overconfident, and Zach Galifianakis is kind of weird and naive.
Yeah, but he's not, like, he's not, what's his character from Hangover?
Alan?
Yeah, he's not an Alan level, no. But he's close to it. You know?
Sort of like it seems like one of his characters from like Tim and Eric.
Yes, it definitely sounds like a salesman or something from Tim and Eric.
Yeah.
But Will Ferrell's character is like a mixture of Ricky Bobby and like the best SNL skits.
Mm-hmm. Like his George Bush.
Yep, that's definitely a vibe I got from it.
If his George Bush is doing Bill Clinton, maybe or something.
It seems like a fun movie. I rather see like a summer action movie.
Well, I mean,
I don't know. Like
this year is the summer of action. Last year was like the R-rated comedy summer.
I definitely want to see this. I just maybe not see it in theaters.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a big theater and comedy guy for some reason. I don't know. I don't really see comedies in theaters for some reason.
Unless it's like a blockbuster, like I like the series, like The Hangover. I saw in theaters.
Yeah,
because the sequel I saw in theaters, but like
Anchorman 2, definitely see it in theaters.
See what I mean? Like, yeah, it's something that's like, oh, I recognize this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna see it. I'm not like risk it all and waste my time. It's a comedy.
I don't want to be like the awkward situation of like laughing and then like no one else in theaters laughing either.
Oh god, that's what Hall Pass is like. Like I went with Brian like 2 years ago to Hall Pass, and all the jokes was like me, all the guy jokes, we all laughed our asses off. We were like in an auditorium full of like dates and like angry liberal women. So just like the, oh shit, like we're gonna get looks.
And it's like, am I the only one who gets this, or am I just the stupid one who's laughing at stupid things?
Let me give you a while ago, I saw Quarantine 1 in theaters when it first came out, mm-hmm. near like the middle of the it's showing.
Mm-hmm.
We laughed at like all it. We laughed at it like it was a comedy. It's not supposed to be a comedy. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
But also the people in the movie theater like booed, not at us because the movie started sucking. So that did help too.
So everyone was pretty much on board with the laughing and making fun of it.
Yep. That's a great moment where like the jeers from the crowd actually helps the movie move along.
So yep, so that's out in August. Looks pretty funny. There's some good like Will Ferrell bits, like him punching a baby.
Oh my god! I like how they end the trailer like that. That was great.
No one. Everyone's asking about the baby. No one's asking about my hand after I punched that iron fit.
Iron jaw.
So then also the other trailer came out last week was the trailer for Gangster Squad, which is the third movie from Ruben Fleischer, who directed Zombieland and 30 Minutes or Less. Definitely going more serious territory for this one. And it's another weird coincidence this year, but like another 40s crime movie. Because we got like a couple weeks ago we talked about the Lawless trailer, like Tom Hardy and Shia LaBeouf. Now I got this one, which is also a 40s crime, set in Los Angeles. Mickey Cohen, played by Sean Penn, is like I think he's just building up his empire. He's like trying to expand his crime empire in like the West Coast, and so like there's a special police squad formed to like sort of like take out his organization. And it's just Josh Brolin is ahead of it, and also you have a Robert Patrick, Ryan Gosling, and Anthony Mackie.
Emma Stone.
Well, Emma Stone's like Mickey Cohen's like girlfriend, or weird,
pretty girl.
Yeah. And like Nick Nolte is like the police captain or the police chief.
I mean, this definitely's got the like LA noir, like. Action behind it, you know?
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like a very fast-paced movie.
Well, it looks like there's gonna be the show like that one shootout where it's like slow motion stuff.
So right, right, but like stylish, that's not gonna be filmed,
action,
you know?
Yeah.
It's gonna be stylish when it happens, but it's not gonna be plentiful, you know? At least that's the vibe I'm getting, because like I kind of see how this movie. Think about it, it's like 30 minutes or less. Like it's a comedy movie, but there's only like a few points that are like funny.
Yeah.
The rest are just, like, killing time.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see how this is going to fall out style, where it's like, oh, it's not, because, again, they're trying to play it off as, like, a more serious action movie.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be, like, the goofier the movie, the better the action, I think.
It's got Jay-Z in the trailer, though, Chris. It's got to be awesome. I don't know. The bar is set pretty high by, like, LA Confidential. If you're talking, like, yeah. 40s crime.
40s
crime
action, noir. But... Oh, my God. Yeah. I didn't really like LA Confidential when I was, like, growing up. But now that, like, after a hardening movie watcher, I actually like LA Confidential.
Oh, it's amazing. Actually, Guy Pearce is our action hero of the week, if you're checking that out from LA Confidential.
Oh, man.
And excellent.
I mean, he started hitting the weights after that. after Bedtime Stories, he really started getting in shape.
Yeah. He's like the weird new action star.
I feel like he should have been, like, when he was younger, he could have been, like, a better action star. Mm-hmm. But he's good now. Like, I'll take him now, but, like, there's so much potential.
Yeah. He could have taken the torch from, like, Kurt Russell or something.
Maybe not. It's hard to take Kurt Russell's torch. You won't give it up sometimes.
There's no, like, Kurt Russell broke the mold. And then, also, speaking of trailers, there was another, there was the Spider-Man Super Preview that premiered during America's Got Talent on Monday. 4 minutes, yeah, no. 4 minutes of new Spider-Man. They showed, like, basically the entire scene from the movie. And then, like, sort of like the theatrical trailer after that. I don't know. I'm still not... I'm sort of on the fence still. Well, I mean, Spider-Man, I don't know if it's going to be good or not.
The best...
scene was okay. Like, the scene of the show was okay. It was kind of... It was pretty cheesy. Spider-Man... I guess the lizard attacks a bridge. I think you saw it from the trailer before, but... this car goes off the edge, and it's on fire. There's a little kid inside of it. Spider-Man has to, like, go, like... hang off the bridge and, like, web the car to keep it from falling. Then he has to, like, help the kid climb out of the car. So, like, the kid's, like, super scared. So, like, he's, like, creeped out by, like, Spider-Man's mask. Like, Spider-Man takes the mask off and, like, here, put this mask on. See, I'm just a normal guy, but if you put it on, you'll be strong and you'll be able to climb out this car.
Except for the whole mutation in my body and not yours.
Yeah. But then the kid, like, climbs out of the car in, like, slow motion, and it's supposed to be, like, super dramatic and emotional, I guess.
No, Spider-Man does not fucking do that in the comics. Like, here's my mask and here's my identity for you to look at.
Yeah, it seems like he's like freaking like 90s Batman in this movie.
What do you mean by that?
Just like I think it seems like every movie, in like every Batman movie from like Batman, Batman Returns, like Batman Forever, he was like take like you people like everyone would know his secret identity by the end of it, especially like his like girlfriend of the movie.
Batman Forever, not Batman Forever, Batman and Robin, the girlfriend didn't know who Batman was. Remember that? She didn't know that George Clooney was Batman.
Are you talking like Elle McPherson?
Yes.
Okay.
Because like everyone else knew.
I get, yeah.
Ironically, think about that. It's like... every Bat movie, everyone figures out Bruce Wayne's Batman, mm-hmm. except for the last movie where his girlfriend didn't know.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't think...
it was like Vicky Vale found out, and like Nicole Kidman found out, and like everyone else found out. So
Chase. Yeah. Chase Meridian. Yeah. Selena Kyle found out. I think Mr. Freeze, if he like really figured out that he solved a rare disease for Bruce Wayne's butler...
yes.
that he gave the antidote to Batman. I think he could put two to two together.
Yeah. There's this guy. I'm surprised he didn't. This guy I know. He's got the same disease. Bruce
got. One in like 100 million get.
Yeah. I'm friends with him. I'm friends with his boss, so.
I just need that vial that you keep around your wrist.
Yeah.
God.
I don't know. We'll find out.
That's a movie we talk about.
Do a commentary on Batman and Robin.
Oh my gosh,
that'd be way too much. But we should do like a commentary for like every Batman movie leading up to like Dark Knight Rises.
Oh my god, we could do it. We just need a lot of alcohol.
Yeah. So yes, we'll find out about Spider-Man in a couple weeks. Here. I think it's out the 7th of June.
I don't care. I'm a big Spider-Man fan. I just want to be surprised.
So, on to other news. The big networks were revealing their upfronts in presentations earlier this week, which was to show off other new shows that they're planning on debuting this fall. We put a post on the site, like, all the ones that look kind of interesting. The one that everyone's, like, sort of talking about is the, it's from Jon Favreau and J.J. Abrams. It's called Revolution. Did you hear or see anything about this show, Chris?
I heard about it. It sounds like it's going to be crazy, but then it's like, I bet you after the first season, downhill.
Yeah. It's basically the premise is that all the world's electricity went off one night, and then 15 years later, society has turned into, like, this weird, like, Wild West / medieval society, and there's, like, warlords running around, and there's, like, militias running around.
In 15 years, really?
Yeah. all the city is, like, overgrown with, like, vines and stuff. And then, basically, there's, I guess, the father of this family, like, I don't know if he... Like, they show him in, like, the beginning of the trailer, he's, like, downloading, like, this information before the blackout happens, and, like, he keeps it on, like, this flash drive. And then he wears it around his neck, but then, like, so, if, like, 15 years later, he's, like, trying to keep... he might know, like, how to get electricity back, or, like, where electricity went. But then, like, his son gets kidnapped, and he gets shot, so, like, his daughter and his wife has to, like, go out and, like, try to rescue his son from these, like, militia guys.
Hey, it's kind of like Skyfall, except no aliens.
Or do you mean Darkest Hour, where, like, they were stealing electricity?
Oh, no, not Darkest Hour. I meant, what's that TNT show where the aliens come? Falling Skies.
Oh. Yeah, it seemed kind of, maybe more Jericho. Jericho, but, like, in, like, Hunger Games mixed in, because, like, the girl is, like, runs around with, like, a crossbow and stuff.
Really? I mean, it could be it's a cool idea, don't get me wrong, but it's, like, a TV show like this? I don't know.
It's kind of, I don't know how, like, it's got this weird, like, mix of, like, they're, like everyone, like, is, like, sword fighting, but then they have guns, too, and it's, like, the Wild West.
I mean, just bring back Firefly. I'll be happy with that.
So that's going to be on NBC. They're betting on that one. They're, like, the NBC is, like, it's so dead last compared to all the networks. Like, they canceled The Wake last week, too, so.
Already? Yeah. We don't know which one's is real reality.
I don't think it really matters. All that matters is that Parks and Rec and Community are coming back. That's all I really care about.
30 Rock.
That's coming back, too.
I know, but it's, like, desperate now.
So, other shows. ABC has a show called Last Resort coming out. It's from Sean Ryan, who made The Shield. And also, I think The Chicago Code was on Fox, but it got canceled.
I remember Chicago Code.
So, the show is about the submarine crew. They're on a nuclear submarine. They're ordered to attack Pakistan with, like, their nuclear missiles, but they refuse to do it. So they get fired upon by some other ship, like some other American ship, and they escape and they find themselves head to this island to sort of, like, set up a base and, like, sort of, like, figure out what's going on and maybe hopefully clear the name because, like, they're basically labeled as traitors now. So, like, it seems like there's, like, a government conspiracy going on and, like, why they're attacking Pakistan, and it's got Andre Brower, Scott Speedman, and Robert Patrick.
I can bet you who gets cut off pretty fast.
And it seems sort of like Crimson Tide meets Lost, maybe, or...
No.
Like, or like some sort of weird, like, reimagining of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Well, is the island full of monsters or something?
Well, there's like this, like, weird, like, militia / like pirates living on the island already, and the sort of like the American subcrew comes over, like, we're taking over this island. And in the trailer, had like Andre Brower like giving like this like crazy like Captain Nemo sort of like speech to like on the news broadcast of like, we're gonna find out who did this and we're gonna make him pay.
I feel like this is a weird this is what like Red October should have been or something, you know?
Yeah. Let's see. Other, also coming out is Vegas on CBS, which is Michael Chiklis and Dennis Quaid as cops in 60s Las Vegas.
What is people with nostalgia shit? Is it because of Mad Men?
Yeah, I think so.
Mad Men with cops, great.
I would kind of be interested to see like how that would work.
Half the crimes are murders by women, like men against women and race crimes. Boom.
Probably, yeah.
It's the 60s, women didn't have too many rights, and minorities were illegal.
Oh man, we gotta figure out who killed these Vietnam protesters.
These female Vietnam protesters.
these black women Vietnam protesters.
And that's gonna happen for a season, and then they'll be like, why did we do this?
At least it's like fully in the 60s and not like weird, what is it, Life on Mars, where it's like he like got transported back in time to the 60s. But they really are like...
No, he went to a coma, and his coma dream was the 60s.
Yeah, but they're also like, they're really like astronauts going to Mars.
Really? Yeah. I thought it was a coma dream.
No, it was like his hibernation dream while they were going to Mars was that he was a 60s detective.
Wow, I missed that.
This last episode. Jesus. The series ends with like them stepping out into Mars.
Okay, that's actually like pretty funny then if the title gives it away of why this is happening. Oh, I get it now. So what the hell's Veronica Mars?
A girl.
Is she going to Mars too?
Let's see what other shows. NBC is going to have a pirate show called Crossbones from the guy who created Luther, Neil Cross.
Make him make more Luther. Don't make him fucking do something different.
It's about a assassin who is dispatched by the British government to kill Blackbeard, but he ends up joining Blackbeard, apparently.
That's what you call poor assassin selection.
Yeah. And having wacky pirate adventures. That's going to be on NBC. Oh, and Vegas is going to be on CBS, so another CBS cop show.
Oh boy, it's what they need.
Actually, the crazy thing I read too was they canceled CSI Miami.
They canceled it?
They canceled CSI Miami, like, yeah.
Wow. That I really wanted them to end it. Like, I don't mind CSI shows ending. I want them to have a proper ending.
It's just going to end after season or wherever it's done.
Well, maybe there's a chance that they could finish up the epilogue in another CSI.
Just like, Horatio, the cruiser just shows up in like another CSI. There's like a one liner dies or something.
No, not dies, but just like, hey, I retired. It's good seeing you again. Bye.
Yeah. He's going to show up on Hawaii 5-0. I guess that's okay.
Oh, is CSI New York still on?
Huh?
CSI New York still on? You know about that?
I think it might be. I know regular CSI is still on.
Yeah, but like they're by scraps on that show. So that's all. Like, I'm okay. I've grown up now from my CSI.
The third lead guy.
Yeah, the Ted Danson is fucking the new everything.
Yeah. From like,
and so is Elizabeth Shue.
Peterson to Lawrence Fishburne to Ted Danson.
Before that, it was Liv Schewitz or whatever that guy's name is.
Liev Schreiber.
Yeah. He was there for like a few episodes and then got killed. But it was a temporary, so okay. I didn't mind that. That was pretty cool.
Actually, speaking of CBS and cop shows, well, not exactly cop shows, but they're going to have their own version of Sherlock called Elementary.
Yeah. Yeah, with Lucy Lewis Watson.
Lucy Lewis Watson and Johnny Lee Miller, who was in Dark Shadows, is also starred with Benedict Cumberbatch, a.k.a. Sherlock, in the play version of Frankenstein. And they switched roles every night. So like one of them was Dr. Frankenstein, one of them was the monster. But now
a lot of British like plays do that.
Yeah,
from what I heard.
Really, they're both gonna be Sherlock now.
Yeah, but I like the actual BBC Sherlock instead of the Americanized bastard cousin that we're gonna get.
I'm sure Lucy Liu is gonna be like freaking like Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, sort of like I'm a computer hacker.
Watson.
We're going to hack into the system.
Oh, God. This is the only time. Do you remember the Sherlock cartoon show?
Oh my God.
That was on Fox?
It was the 22nd Century or whatever.
Yep, where they like they just cloned him. Watson was a giant robot. Yep.
Did they clone him, or did they like was he like cryogenically frozen and they found him or something?
He was Captain America?
I thought they thought him like he was like frozen somehow and they found him.
I don't remember. I remember either they cloned him or they thawed him out. But like it was funny how he used like centuries old of deduction skills on these fucking modern machines, and he actually knew like things. And it wouldn't make sense for what sport and shit. Like
we are just like some weird like crime boss or something or mob boss.
Something like that. I feel it's funny how like the police in that show were like, oh, we found this like guy. He's a cop now.
He's a demolition man.
Kinda, yeah. But this is like, I bet elementary is gonna be like, oh, he's consulting detective again. Do you think, or he's gonna be a cop?
He's gonna be like freaking, I don't know, mentalist or something. What are the mentalists?
Mentalist. Wait, we have the American version of Sherlock. We called it the Mentalist.
Well, we got House, which is but.
Or Psych.
Yeah. Like
Psych's pretty close to like Sherlock.
It's like five shows where like the guy is super observant. And it's like his superpower. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Wasn't there there's a show with a woman where she's like she can relive people's memories.
Are you thinking of Unforgettable?
Yeah.
No, that show was that she had like perfect memory, so she could like remember every single detail about everything. You know, some people have like total recall. They could like.
Right. Wait, I thought her abilities was to read other people's memories, but her memory, her ability just remembering things like a fucking picture.
Yeah, like when she goes to the crime scene, she can like remember like who was at the crime scene, what everyone was wearing, what everyone was holding, what everyone had, like what was on the body, what all that stuff.
So instead of like four people, she can remember like that's not a show.
That show got canceled too. So
good.
But apparently it was like the number one new show of the season or something for a while.
Who makes like who are these people? They're fucking like number one.
CBS is every single number one show is on CBS.
And then it dies.
Then the audience dies because they're super old.
Aww.
Anyway, last year's show is The Following. It's on Fox. It's got Kevin Bacon as a FBI agent who is trying to track down the serial killer that he caught 9 years ago, but then he escaped. But the catch is that the killer is like forming this sort of like weird network of killers, and he's like training these new killers and like sending them out to do weird killing jobs for him.
Killing?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool, but again, these are like failed movie plots.
Kinda, yeah. It's got James Purefoy, aka Solomon Kane, is the also he was in Rome and stuff. He's gonna be the serial killer. It's got Maggie Grace from Taken and Lockout and Lost as like I guess the victim who escaped the first time or something. And Natalie Z of Justified is gonna be like the serial killer's ex-wife or something.
You always have one of those. Mm-hmm. Off premise, I'm just like, nah. Like, isn't there like a, whatever after that Ashley Judd show where she's like,
missing?
Like taking, missing.
Yeah.
That's so long.
Maybe I still be on, I don't know.
The fact that it's like someone took her child and she's tracking this organization down and keeps sending people to deter her from tracking them. Getting her child back.
Yeah.
Like, it's gonna be cluttered, all these, like, fucking crime dramas.
Well, the weird thing about The Following is that it seems like this guy is, like, setting up Facebook for criminals or something, or some sort of weird like, network for killers. And he's setting up, like, a religion around himself, because, like, he's saying, like, all these people are like, he's awakened my mind to the truth or something, and, like, there's, like, this crazy lady with, like, tattoos all over herself, and she, like, stabbed herself in the stomach with a sword, and crazy shit happens. All crazy stuff happens during the show.
Actually, you're piquing my interest. I'll fucking see that.
You can watch the trailer on the.
I fucking see.
There's like trailer.
I actually might because
if you go to the everythingnation.com and check out the new fall TV shows post, You can check out trailers for like Revolution, Last Resort, and The Following. They all have trailers you can check out. So yeah, that's some of the stuff you could look forward to this coming season for TV.
Sounds like a winning list of things I won't watch.
Just stick with all your shows you already watch.
On my Netflix, all the shows I didn't watch 10 years ago.
Yeah. Avatar.
You heard of the show called Invader Zim?
Mm-hmm.
I should probably watch that.
Ren Stimpy, have you heard of the show?
I heard about Hey Arnold.
Actually, speaking of TV shows, there's news that the ABC's Hulk TV show might finally debut, or might get that going for 2013.
Yeah. If it's set in like the movie Hulk universe, that'd be awesome.
That would be.
If it's set in some, if it's set in some weird.
I don't think they like. I don't think they get Mark Ruffalo to do a TV show.
He hasn't hit bottom yet.
Like, I mean, if they combine, like, they just, like, pay him and then, like, do, like, the CG Hulk every, like, every week, that would be a pretty damn expensive show. But, yeah, I mean, I would be for a Hulk TV show.
Sounds like a cool idea to have, like, a syndicated Marvel show
I don't,
that isn't a cartoon.
I don't know if Joe is still here. You'd be talking about doing a Punisher show.
Yeah, but unfortunately, the internet decided to eat itself, so.
A Punisher show on FX.
I felt like you'd wait.
Mm-hmm.
Only.
I remember they were talking about, I thought ABC or something was going to have the Punisher show, and he's like, he's actually going to be a cop still, or something. It's going to be some stupid, horrible bastardization of the Punisher.
No.
He's like a cop, but then he sort of takes the law into his own hands sometimes. So, and also, so speaking of Hulk, speaking of the Avengers made over $1 billion this weekend, total. It actually made $100 million domestically, but then its worldwide total is now over $1 billion.
It's enough to refinance in America again.
So, well, it makes up for John Carter.
Something kind of.
And it broke like a ton more records. It broke like I think it was like the fastest to 300 million, fastest to 150 million, fastest to 200 million. Fastest to, like, 19, it was, like, the tied Avatar and Harry Potter and Deathly Hallows Part 2 for, like, fastest time to a billion. And it's probably going to be in the top 5 for, like, overall, like, all-time box office probably this weekend.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's 9th right now, but if it makes it, like, another 100 million, or at least, or even like 75 million or 50 million this weekend, it's going to be like bumping up to like the top 5.
That's cool. I mean,
it's also the second best weekend ever, and it has the best hold from previous weekend. So it fell it lost the least amount of money from the first weekend to this weekend.
I mean, this movie is too big to fail.
Yeah, pretty much.
So,
the only question is, can The Dark Knight match it later this year?
That's a tough one.
Because Dark Knight is the one in the top 5 for like all-time gross.
Well, so is Titanic, so.
Yeah, well, and Avatar. And Harry Potter, Deathly Hallows Part 2. And like Alice in Wonderland and stuff. Weirdly.
Really?
I also wonder if they made over $1 billion. Which, I don't think Dark Shadows is definitely not going to be anywhere near that. So, other news from last week. Marion Cotillard, who's in Dark Knight Rises, speaking of that, she was given, sort of, I think she was interviewing for somewhere or giving a talking somewhere, and she was, so one of the things about her character is that everyone thinks she's going to be Talia al Ghul. Because they listen to her character is like the most generic character ever. Of like, she's like Miranda Chase or something, or Miranda, some sort of like generic name, and she's like, she's a businesswoman or reporter.
She's Susie Businesswoman.
Yeah. So everyone's like, I mean, everyone's like, clearly she is, that's just a cover for Talia. She's going to try to like, infiltrate Wayne Enterprises and like get next to Bruce Wayne and do something maybe bad to him.
Plus, there's stills online of her with like,
Like battle armor, yeah.
Right, so it's like, too late to back out of this now.
Yeah, she was, so it's like this weird, like, vague statement of like, well, I was only there a couple days, and I was there on the weekends, and then it was like a long time in between when they needed me on set, so, but I'm not playing Talia al Ghul, if that's what everyone's asking.
You know, okay, if she's not, this is the best, like, Christopher Nolan, like, aha, I tricked the audience.
Yes.
You know, he definitely went out of his way to make sure, like, he misdirected everyone, which would be funny and great. I applaud him for that. But if it's not, he's so fucking stupid. He's like a kindergartner lying. He's like, yeah, I'm not doing anything.
Yeah. And, like, Joseph Gordon-Levitt's playing someone more, a little bit more important, too. He's, like, generic cop.
Yeah, he's probably, he's a little higher.
Yeah. Especially when he was, like, in, like, half the trailer, the new trailer.
And he's, like, surrendering at one point. He's, like, on his knees.
And it seemed like he was, like, in, like, wasn't he talking to Catwoman at one point?
I think so. Like,
did they kill him? He was, like, either working with Bane or something crazy going on with him, so. Who knows what's going on with this movie? They're making Mountain Dew, is what we know. Dark Berry Mountain Dew is coming out for Dark Knight Rises. You see that one? You see that, Chris? The bottle?
Yeah, I know. They got me excited for my fast food crave like cheap food tie-ins. But where's my Avenger burger? Where's my...
The Bane burger.
Where's my...
Burger.
Bane burger.
Bane
Spider-Man. Where's my Spider-Man thing?
Where's our Expendables food tie-in?
Where's my,
like, barbed wire
my
burger?
Gun?
Yeah.
My Expendables, like... No, wait, Expendables had a pen? Or at least Sylvester Stallone? Remember he designed a pen?
That was, like, a knife?
For Expendables? Yeah, it was, like, a pen knife?
Yeah.
So where's that?
They should make, like... McDonald's should put, like, it's, like, chicken nuggets, but they're, like, all shaped like guns. Hey, kids, instead of your Happy Meal, a grenade.
Throw your chicken nuggets at people. Watch them explode.
Yeah. So, last bit of news for this week is that apparently Lego Lord of the Rings, the video game, is coming out sometime in the near future.
Another Lord of the Rings game. Yay.
Lego, though, Chris.
Yeah, but once you play one Lego game, you pretty much play them all.
Kind of.
Like, there's, like, besides the cosmetics look, the mechanics are all the same. At least for the Star Wars, Indiana Jones, Batman, Harry Potter.
I'm just wondering, like, how they would, like, Legolize, like, the big, like, bat, like, how they Legolize, like, Helm's Deep and stuff.
You could do it. It just wouldn't be, like, that deep of mechanics. It would just be, like, punch. Like, did you ever play a Lego game?
Yeah, I played Lego Indiana Jones, Lego Star Wars, a little bit Lego Harry Potter.
Right. Like, the fight mechanics aren't complicated. They just hit the person until like they blink.
Yeah, it's mostly like build these Lego pieces together to build this switch and then go across the bridge.
Like occasionally you come across a part in Lego, like for me, Lego Batman, it's like this game recommended like an 8-year-old or younger. I'm like, this game's fucking, some parts are fucking hard. It's like no reason is like the puzzle solving mechanic is so fucking like difficult, because it's like, where am I going? Like, what do I have to break? Mm-hmm. That's my only flaw with
it. I get to play as, like,
with, like, the
Lego Gollum. And, like, Lego Gandalf.
I mean, it's a cute game. It just, I would not buy that, like, straight. I would not buy that, like, first release.
No.
You know? I played, like, I don't get disappointed by Lego games, but it's like they're the same game over and over again.
I think I bought Lego Indiana Jones for like $10 or something.
Oh, did you get like the special edition one? Was like the fourth movie included?
No, that was Lego Indiana Jones 2. I just got the first one where like it was just like Raiders, Temple of Doom, and Last Crusade. So, yes, that's coming out. So, and that's pretty much it for the news, unless there's anything else you saw, Chris.
No, that's it for now. We talked a lot. We covered a lot of, a lot of rants.
A lot of stuff. So, I want to get to new roundup and we wrap this thing up. Sure. And it was a pretty tight race for pick of the week this week, but eventually the Gray won the top spot. The Gray is out this week. It's pick of the week. I'd say maybe my second favorite movie of the year so far, behind Avengers. It was totally awesome.
Okay. I didn't see The Gray, but I imagine
it's cool. You should definitely check it out.
Very I heard it's a great metaphor for Liam Neeson's, like, life. His struggles.
It's not quite as good as the Chico Says Skills speech, but he has, like, this awesome speech where, like, he's basically talking this guy into dying. It's like right after the plane crash, he's like, "You're going to die. Just let it happen. Close your eyes. Let death take you."
Jesus.
And a lot of, like, it's a really great, like, man versus nature movie. Where it's like, nature will always win. And also wolves will win, too, so... Just don't go on expecting like freaking crazy action, Liam Neeson punching wolves in the face the entire movie, because that's not what it is.
No, isn't it just like very like life is accepting, life is harsh.
Yeah, it's very like fight for your life. If you want like if you want to live, you have to fight for it and stuff. But and right behind it, in terms of like recommendations, Chronicle is also out this week. Which that was another awesome movie from earlier this year. Found footage, like we were talking about, I think Joe was talking about earlier. But not found footage horror, found footage superheroes this time.
And it's a different take on the genre. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a movie I might stumble across instead of like actively seek out.
I would recommend that, please, see if you can get out. Like just for the ending alone, for like the crazy end battle in Seattle, it's pretty awesome. Like it's like what you would want from like a Superman movie, like just like people getting punched through buildings and like crazy people throwing stuff at each other and like cars flying and exploding everywhere. And so yeah, definitely check out Gray and Chronicle. Those are both awesome movies. And then going down significantly in quality, One for the Money, also this week, Katherine Heigl as a bounty hunter.
Oh my god, I forgot that movie is a movie.
Yeah.
Do you think that movie did well, or that went comically like a bomb?
I think it did okay. There's a lot of middle-aged women that went to go see it. I read the book.
Katherine Heigl, I recognize that.
I read the book series.
It's based on a book series?
Yeah. By, like, I can't remember, Janet Ivanovich or something. She, like, wrote, like, it was, like, five books or something. The same character. Stephanie Plum or something. She's, like, a New Jersey bounty hunter.
Yeah, she was like, oh, I really lost my job and my lover. I guess I'll become a bounty hunter. Mm-hmm. You know who did that well? Domino. That was a weird fucking movie,
she
but
actually
like,
murdered.
At least, yeah, she fucking got the job done.
Yeah. She didn't get to, like, wacky hijinks. So, also this week we have Hell on Wheels, the complete first season, AMC's weird western show. definitely at the bottom tier of, like, the AMC shows.
Good.
Like, Mad Men is, like, on top like super far at top, then it's like Walking Dead, and it's like pretty far down is Killing, and then like a little bit under that is probably Hell on Wheels.
Oh man, the Killing is, we talked about how weird, angry that show makes me.
Yeah. I haven't watched any of this new season.
I refuse to finish the first season knowing that no matter what I'm watching, it's all wrong.
Yeah. It's like, after like the sixth person who's not the killer, they like blow that.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, no matter what evidence you collected, it's been tampered, and here's more evidence.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hey, look, it's this piece of evidence we haven't looked at since we first invested the case, but it seems pretty important.
Like, I like a good crime show that everything's laid out in the beginning, mm-hmm. and all you gotta do is connect the pieces. This, it's like, there's nothing.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so, but Hell on Wheels is out, so.
Yeah.
Speaking of that. Also this week, Father Bride, 20th anniversary, part 1 and 2 on Blu-ray this week.
Oh boy. They don't even put, like, the original on it, do they?
Yes, the original and the part 2.
No, I meant the original.
Was it like a British movie or something, or?
Father the Bride is based on an old, like, 50s movie.
No, this is just the Steve Martin movies.
Ooh. That's what I mean, like, I didn't know Father Bride was originally, like, an old movie, like, that they, it, Father Bride's a remake.
Yeah, that's, I did not know that as well.
See, that's what I mean, like, oh, bastard.
Being John Malkovich is joining the Criterion Collection this week.
I heard John Cusack said to his agent, give me the weirdest script you can find during, like, the 90s, and they just, like, gave him Being John Malkovich and said, fuck it.
Everyone was like, who's John Malkovich?
I remember seeing, it's weird because it's like, wait, like the actor John Malkovich? And then John Malkovich shows up. He's like, why are people me? I'm just like, what? And then like, a year later, he's in Con Air. I was like, huh?
We also have The Devil Inside is out this week.
Is it the one with the Catholic Church?
Yeah, like the mom is possessed by the devil or whatever. There's exorcisms and stuff. It's found footage. I heard it's absolutely awful.
Yeah, I heard
everything. I heard it doesn't even end. It just like, ends and like it gives you like a website to go to see like what the actual ending is of the movie.
Really?
Yeah, there's like a website like check out www.devilinsidetruth.com to find the truth about this movie.
Well, I heard like everyone dies or something in the end. And the camera still rolls before it can finish. Like, it then pops up over the, it, then it's like, it just movie ends.
You know what the most hilarious thing about that movie is? Is that, like, you can see they ran out of money for the credits. And they also want, like, they want to make sure, like, they got, like, the proper runtime to, like, make it, like, an actual movie. So credits go, at, like, one-fifth the speed of normal credits and there's, like, no music.
What?
Like, you have to see it to believe it. It's just, like, a snail is like crawling. It's like they go at like a snail's pace. It's like the credits. It's like they last like 5 minutes longer than they should. Like we were cleaning a theater. It's like, am I just like going crazy or are those credits going super slow?
I talk like about summer movies. It's like there's always a pace about credits, and it's like, yeah, if it's off, something in your brain's like, this is wrong. I don't know why, but this is wrong.
Because there's only like 20 people to credit, so it's like, we need to stretch this out as far as we can. We ran out of movie. Apparently, I mean, it made some stupid amount of money, because everyone is stupid. Like, all horror fans are stupid, so. We're going to go see a new found footage devil movie. It looks awesome. Exorcisms. So, like, Devil Inside 2 is coming out, apparently.
No.
Because it cost like $1 million to make and it made like $10 million or some crazy amount. Let's see. Also this week, so anyway, also coming out this week, we have Rampart, which is Woody Harrelson as like, it seems sort of like Bad Lieutenant, kind of, like maybe like the original Bad Lieutenant, where he's like this like super corrupt Los Angeles cop.
No. No, I know a bad lieutenant.
Yeah, I'm talking about, like, Rampart seems like sort of like that. It also had, like, the most catastrophic Ask Me Anything on Reddit.
I heard, like, he was just promoting his movie, and people were, like, asking him, like, very generic things, and his reply was, like, see my movie.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, do you like filming? See my movie. What's your favorite location? See my movie. Yeah.
The place where we shot Rampart. we also have on Blu-ray The Walking Tall Trilogy, and this is the original Walking Tall with Jodan Baker.
How? There's three of them?
Yeah.
Like, I knew there was two.
Are you thinking of the Rock ones? Or the, because the original,
no, the original, the original. I didn't know there was three of them on the original.
Yeah. It's the trilogy, so those are all on one Blu-ray collection this week.
Now, I still haven't seen Walking Tall, the original. I mean, the remake of The Rock.
It's not bad. It's definitely a huge step down, because, like, the movie before that was Rundown, which was amazing.
Really? I thought it was Walking Tall, then The Rundown.
No, it was Scorpion King, Rundown, then Walking Tall.
Rundown's pretty good.
It is. It's awesome. Just for walking.
Arnold Schwarzenegger for, like, a minute.
Yes.
Cool party.
It was like, have fun.
Oh.
And the opening is so awesome, we just, like, destroys that entire, like
dance club.
The line of, like, this entire, like, college football team.
Those are not college kids. No. Like, those are blatantly, like, adults.
Let's see here. Also, we have Albert Nobbs, Oscar-nominated, Glenn Close disguises herself as a man or something, or some weird craziness going on there. Cross-dressing. I don't know. It got nominated for, like, makeup and, like, I guess actress, best actress, Glenn Close.
I heard how it was, like, it's like an old Victorian story about a woman who takes care of another woman, mm-hmm. but because, like, it's like if she doesn't have a male, like, figure, people will, like, sell her away or something, so she becomes like, yeah, because Glenn Close is very faking being a man, so she's like, oh, I guess I'll take this woman. It's like, she tries to mentor her. It's very, like, it's for all honesty reasons, it should be like a comedy, but it's not. Yeah. It's a drama.
So we also have on Blu-ray Terminal Velocity, the Charlie Sheen action classic.
Is it the one he's parachuting?
I think so.
He's a special. Yeah, he's a special. He's like a birth, an event parachute dropper. Mm-hmm. Where if you have an outdoor event, you could hire him to, like,
what is
skydive to your location?
What is with the, like, all those, like, the weird skydiving movies?
It was a thing back in the 90s.
There was, like, Drop Zone with Wesley Snipes. There was, like,
Power Rangers even had a drop zone.
Yeah, Cutaway with, like, Stephen Baldwin. Point Break, of course.
Point Break, yeah.
I don't know, it's weird. Skydiving was a thing in the 90s. And apparently this movie is fast and fun, according to the DVD box art. There's Ah, Real Monsters, Season 2, on DVD this week. Did you watch any Ah, Real Monsters, Chris?
Yeah, it's a pretty messed up kid show, because it's very, like, bizarre. I mean, it's still bizarre even by today's standards.
Yeah. It's like all the monster designs are, like, really...
Monster designs, the fact that their like, headmaster was a transvestite.
Yeah. It was Tim Curry, wasn't it?
I don't think so.
I thought it was someone really super famous.
It was basically the cast of Rugrats, yeah, doing this, and it was the same animation team. But was it Tim Curry? Nope.
Greg Berger? I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought it was someone was in there, but I guess not.
No, Tim Curry did Wild Thornberries.
Okay. Tim Curry wasn't, he voiced Zimbo. That's what I'm thinking of. Jim Belushi. Xander Berkeley. Anyway, that's out. Season 2 is out. I think season 1 came out like 3 years ago or something, or 2 years ago. I think it's all on Netflix too, if you want. Check it out. Also on Blu-ray, the classic movie Duets.
Oh, hell yeah.
Lewis with Gwyneth Paltrow.
Gwyneth Paltrow. Yeah. Actually,
classic song Cruisin'.
Is that a real song, like, before?
No, I think it was made for the movie.
Because I remember, like, the radio always had that fucking song after.
Da, 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 da.
You're gonna fly away higher.
I
remember because it haunted me every time I went to a karaoke bar. Like, every time, Zach, remember when we go in college, we'd go to karaoke bar?
I don't remember anyone playing Cruising when I went to the karaoke bar.
Yeah, like, okay, I've been there way more then, but, like, definitely someone be, like, drunk, like, I want to sing Cruising with Huey Louie and Gwyneth Paltrow. Like, what?
Do both parts, too.
I'm going to down this beer and fucking sing my heart out.
It's like, why do you make him, it's like the professional karaoke circuit or something, I don't even, like.
It was pre-American Idol. Yeah. So it was before, like, you can go in front of an audience and sing. It was like, I guess I'll go to a bar.
It's like the weirdest, like, how the most obscure thing that you can make a plot about.
Well, I don't know if they make an American Idol movie.
Sort of feels like, it reminds me a lot of, like, Cocktail. Where it's like, let's make a movie about cocktail bartenders.
You can make a movie out of any subject. Yeah. It's just how you deliver it and who's in it, you know? This movie had Huey Louie and fucking Gwyneth Paltrow. It took them, like, 12 years for this movie
to get to, like, traveling around the country just, like, doing karaoke. That was their entire job.
It was like a national contest of going to dive bars and fucking singing.
See?
Oh, my God, that's a commentary. That's a fucking commentary.
We should do a commentary for Cocktail.
That movie's tragic. Yeah,
his friend fucking commits suicide or something.
Because his wife fucking wanted his boat or something.
Yeah. So anyway, last thing out this week on Blu-ray is The Order with Van Damme.
Oh. He fights for Jesus.
And Charlton Heston's in that movie for some reason.
And it's like one of his last movies, yeah, too.
It was like, probably like that or like True Lies, where he was like Nick Fury.
Actually, no, True Lies was way before.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Was that, or like maybe like early 2000s?
True Lies was
mid-90s. Yeah, True Lies was like 99 or like 98 or something like that. Actually, wait, it might have been 97, because I think Terminator 2 came out in 1992. I think, right? 1991, 92? Terminator 2? I think True Lies was probably, like, 97. Because, like, the big return of, like, James Cameron and Arnold Schwarzenegger before James Cameron went crazy and started making Avatar and going to find the Titanic and stuff. So that's it for new releases. Definitely go check out The Grey and Chronicle if you haven't seen those yet. And I think that's going to do it for this week's show, unless there's anything else you can think of, Chris.
No, I think we covered enough topics tonight.
I think I might be losing my voice. So, but if you want more from us, you can go to www.everythingaction.com for news, reviews, trailers, all our weekly features that we do. Our review of Dark Shadows is up, like I mentioned earlier in this episode. If you want to go check out my more detailed thoughts about Dark Shadows and how horrible it is, you can go check it out there. Actually, I think I was actually pretty generous with my rating. Because you might have messed up my, like, skewing of, like, how to determine if a movie is bad or not. That my senior year of college, we just destroyed my rating system.
We have a rating system?
Well, my internal rating system. I've experienced Border Wars. There's, like, nothing that can ever be...
Nothing can melt your brain. I think I lost, like, it is the equivalent of chugging, like, 100% grain alcohol.
Physically hurt. Like, my head physically hurt after watching, like, during that movie.
We all walked away with headaches.
Because because you just got, like, couldn't comprehend just how human beings can make a movie that horrible. But anyway, so Dark Shadows Review is up there. Brian's weekly Mad Men recap still going on. Actually, this week's episode was actually called Dark Shadows. there's like a they don't specifically say it's Dark Shadows, but they're like one of Megan's like acting friends like auditioning for the show. So that's up there. All sorts of other stuff. Musical montage is actually Tenacious D because their new album came out this week. So if you want to check out some Tenacious D songs, all that is on the website. Definitely come check out www.everythingaction.com. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/everything.action is our Facebook page. You can go on there, like us, see news stories we find from around the web during the week before they get collected in News Shotgun for the site. Funny videos we find. I don't know, anything else we find interesting or funny from around the web, we put it on the Facebook page. So if you check it out in there, if you're on Facebook. I'm also on Twitter, twitter.com/EVAction is a Twitter account. You can follow us on there. You can see news stories from the site as they go up. You can see us retweet news stories or any funny comments people make on Twitter. We retweet them to the Everything Action account. And sometimes we live blog movies if one of us happens to be on and we're watching a movie. And also we have to be in the vicinity of something able to tweet. We sometimes do live blogs and movies while we're watching them. And if you're going, you can go on iTunes, search for Everything Action in the iTunes store. You can subscribe to the podcast, read us, leave comments, give us reviews. You can also get our app on there for your iPhone or iPod Touch. It's free. You can get the last 20 news stories from the site on the app, and you can listen to the podcast on there as well. So definitely download that if you have an iPhone or iPod Touch. And contact everythingaction.com is the email address. So send us some emails if you want suggestions or, I don't know, comments, suggestions, criticisms, ideas for movies we should do commentaries for, because the next one's coming up pretty soon. So, yeah, all that good stuff. That's all the ways you can contact us. So definitely hit us up any way you want. And definitely just stay tuned to the various Everything Action accounts next week, because we're going to be giving away a couple copies of a movie, The Aggression Scale, coming soon to DVD and Blu-ray. We're going to copy it as those, but stay tuned for details about how we're going to give those away next week. And I think that's it. So for Chris and Joe, I am Zach, and we will see you next week.